Let's get ready to wrinkle!
I'm getting you guys up. I'm getting you ready.
Woo.
NFL style.
Woo.
Are you feeling it?
I still don't know what you're talking about.
I'm jumping up and down. I got one fist in the air like I'm at a 1990s DC Talk concert. Who's
with
me?
I think you're thinking of Ric Flair. That's Ric Flair.
Oh, my bad.
WWE.
Yeah.
I know Ric Flair.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Energy's up. Energy's flying. All right. I got a rumbling in my tummy, boys.
Is that what's going on? You better drop that off.
In between podcasts, I don't want to disrupt everything too much. Getting a late start tonight. You boys ready? Are you up? Are you ready?
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Yeah? Welcome to Fly Casual episode number something. I don't control the mouse tonight, so
42.
I don't know. 42.
Oh, yeah.
Why, someone called Douglas Adams because we have found the answer at last. 42.
That's it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just
everybody got
question.
Quiet on me. I'm like, I know you nerds know what
keep
I'm
going.
Talking about.
Keep going.
All right. All right. Well, hey, thank you very much, listener, for joining us for another episode of Fly Casual. Tonight is an episode where we're going to talk news. We're going to talk toys, games, and collectibles. And we also have a special segment that will be the white creamy goodness between those two delicious chocolate cookies.
Oh,
yeah.
Like an Oreo.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's true. I'm your host, Mr. Corey T. Wilson. Over there on my left is Mr. Michael J. Archbold.
Hello, Corey T. Wilson. How's it shaking, my friend?
Well, right now it's not shaking too much. I'm on a nice sturdy stool.
Yeah.
Brand new chair over here.
I
don't have to use my ankles to balance myself.
Yeah.
The whole time.
You get animated, you're not going to fall over, nothing?
I might, because I don't have a back on me. But before, I had the back, but there was nothing holding it upright, so okay. I think my chances are better. My chances are better tonight.
We're good.
Of course, across the pond and down a few is Mr. Garrick, not Jay Hardy.
Hey.
Hey, man.
There's two people in this world.
Really?
The people who like Hydrox and the people who have good taste.
Whoa.
Well, you know what?
Wow.
I'm going to tell you something.
I'm laying it out.
The people that like Hydrox, like all of our legislators who don't understand how the internet works, will eventually die out because Hydrox cookies are no longer being made.
Wow.
Oh.
That's what I heard.
They went on for quite a while. Until very recently, but they were purchased.
From what I understand, they predate Oreo by years or something?
Absolutely do. Now, the Oreo itself, they predate. I believe that Nabisco actually predates I can't remember the name of the bakery that did the Hydrox.
Mm.
But Oreo itself didn't come along until
the official cookie of Hydra.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Hail Hydrox.
Hey, hell.
Yeah.
Beat me too.
You know what I like? Grasshoppers.
Really?
No. You remember the grasshoppers?
No.
They were like mint Oreos. They were an Oreo with green mint filling.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes, I remember those.
I like the green mint filling, but I didn't know they were called grasshoppers.
Grasshoppers. That was also, I believe, the non-Nabisco brand or whatever. What a great day for cookies, which is why it's a good thing we brought Stephen J. Howie along.
I like cookies.
Seriously. You used to bring a pack of Nutter Butters to every other podcast we recorded.
Yeah, now I just eat a package of the Hostess donuts.
Donuts.
The donuts?
And I eat them before I get here because I got made fun of about them.
Donuts?
By whom?
By you.
I was going to say, I've never stopped you from anything, but someone else must have ganged up on you.
I think you and your wife.
I did a little bit.
Yeah, I was going to say, my wife, that would make sense. My wife.
They didn't have any donuts.
She wants the credit.
Well, once she finds something to exploit, then it's not fun anymore. It's like, oh, well, she's making fun of me for it. I guess I just stop. I don't want to have to deal with this every time. But speaking of dealing with stuff every time, the listeners get to deal with us.
Hey,
before we get things started, let me remind you, please follow us on Twitter at FlyCasual1138 to keep up with all the hottest news that's coming out as it hits the streets. Obviously, we love having you listen in, but there's more. There's stuff that doesn't even make the grade, yo.
That's true.
That's right.
True.
Flying around out
true
there.
True that.
And if you want to be a part of that, do join us over there where Mr.
Steve Powell, foreign correspondent in the UK,
is doing a toot sweet job of keeping that going. And of course, we're all involved in the conversation as well. So you can hit us up, you can make requests, and you can call us names.
Would you say that we are tweaking on the Twitters?
Oh, man, we've been tweaking on that Twitter for a while now. What a great laugh.
I
So anyhow, hey, why don't we just go ahead and get things started, not wait anymore. Let's get into news.
News.
Andy Serkis, boys. Andy Serkis.
Whoa, I've never
heard of Corey's favorite actor.
Gollum. I've been to Andy Serkis.
You have?
I've been to the Andy Serkis before.
Is that the one in like behind Kroger?
Yeah, yeah, and they leave a free they actually leave a free chocolate mint on every seat when you get in there. It's the Andy Serkis. Yeah.
Worth going to.
Yeah, absolutely.
I heard that they have the world's biggest midget there. He's about 5'10".
That's an offensive term, Mike.
Wait a minute.
Oh, okay. What do you call? Oh, little people, little person. Little person.
No. I meant biggest. That's offensive. World's most massively challenged midget.
Okay,
is what you meant to say.
Oh, okay.
Naturally.
Naturally, of course.
Gosh.
Of course.
Following you around with a pooper scooper. Over
All
here.
Right, here we go. Andy Serkis and the news, boys.
Oh,
remember
no,
how?
That guy?
Yeah. Remember how all the talk and all the rage was that Andy Serkis was in The Force Awakens and he was going to be playing just he was going to be an actor in the film, just like he was in Ultron.
And I started coming
He was
up,
not going to be mocap.
I was just like he was in Ultron. Oh, yeah, he was a regular dude.
He was a dude in Ultron.
There were 8,000 dudes in Ultron and a couple of dudettes. I was coming up with all kinds of cockamamie conspiracy theories about who he could play because of why would you have Andy Serkis in your movie not as a mo-capped character.
Right.
But now...
Yeah, that's all shut the hell.
Yeah, no, that's right out the window. Because he was lying.
Yeah.
He was a lying liar who lies.
Yeah, pictures have surfaced on the internet this week. Yeah, he's all mo-capped out, man.
Yeah,
of course he is.
All the dots on his face.
Well, you do know that he owns a
mo-cap studio.
Mo-cap studio.
He does.
People
that's why initially everybody assumed that he was going to be
a
mo-cap guy.
You're telling me they've never taken a picture of him mo-capped before, ever?
No, well
we haven't seen one.
The way that he was mo-capped was very similar to how Lupita Nyong'o was mo-capped.
Yeah,
I mean,
they were doing a demonstration.
He was showing Lupita how to do it.
Sure.
Hey, you know what? Hey, that's not outside the realm of possibility. It goes against a lot of the rumors that have come along with this picture, which, of course, we'll discuss in the next episode, which is a rumors podcast. Right. But as it is, it appears that Andy Serkis was photographed strapped into the same type of rig that Lupita Nyong'o was formerly photographed.
So interesting turn of events there, huh? I mean, not completely surprising. Just, I guess I don't understand why the misdirection on that. I mean, what's the point?
Maybe he turns into, maybe Andy Serkis has a final form.
Dun, dun, dun.
Maybe he plays a normal dude that turns into Scorpion Andy Serkis.
Oh, and that's three in a row.
I could keep this up, and there was a good reason to that time.
Let me throw this out there for you.
Uh-oh.
Because
watch your head.
Okay, now that he's mo-capped, I mean, that kind of leads one to believe that he's possibly an alien type creature.
Maybe.
Now, there's been rumors about
or a monkey.
Rumors,
he dies and turns into a ghosty wisp.
The rumors have consistently been that he is going to be the Sith Lord at the beginning of the film. Okay.
Oh, we don't want to go too deep into that. This is news, Michael.
Okay.
It's purify.
It's totes news.
Okay. It's news now. Okay. That's as far as I was willing to defend
that. What's the likelihood that he's like Darth Plagueis?
There's 0% chance.
Why?
Because they've already announced his name.
Did they announce it or was it a leak?
What? That we will not get into till the next episode.
Mike decides arbitrarily.
I thought it was announced. My bad.
You give the guy a keyboard.
In an article.
You give the guy a keyboard and a mouse.
That's kind of on the rumor side of things. But
We'll get into a little more detail with that. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't believe necessarily any of the names they've been providing.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't even necessarily believe that he's the Sith Lord that everybody's saying.
Every original name that we've heard is feh. It ranges from feh to ugh for every original named character in the new movie. Yes. There's not been a single name that's been like, ooh, that's a good name.
They're very monosyllabic, too.
Yeah.
All of them? Like all of them?
Yeah. Not Phasma.
Oh, finally.
Yeah. But all the same. I don't know. I have a feeling it's going to be a new character, well, but who knows?
Yeah, and I still don't think that anybody's said this is it. It's all rumor. This could be misdirection. It could be anything.
And it could be literally the name that we've heard could be literally the code name for the character on set, because all of the new characters have code
sure,
names.
Sure, right. Yeah, I won't believe any of the names until we're watching the film.
Right.
I just won't.
And really, I would advise the listeners to do the exact same thing, because otherwise you could get, I mean, just going into the movie and finding out that the names are different on one or two characters or all of them can be enough to distract you from actually enjoying the film. At least if you're overly analytical like
right,
me.
Right, like we are.
Yeah. Like when I saw, you know, Batman Begins, and I was like, why does Liam Neeson have Ra's al Ghul's haircut, but they're saying he's not Ra's al Ghul? And then 15 minutes before the end of the movie, oh, yeah, thank you. I've hated this whole movie because of that obvious thing that you were hiding. I mean, you could enjoy
the whole movie.
I enjoyed it more the second time because I didn't have to think about that the whole time. So, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, exactly. Interesting. So what else is going on in
Carrie Fisher in the news, boys? Have you heard this?
She's the dudette what plays Princess Leia.
The dudette.
That's true.
Plays Princess Leia, mm-hmm. Yes. She was recently at an autograph signing, and there was a picture snapped, and she just happened to sign this poster, Carrie Fisher, a.k.a. Mrs. H. Solo.
Yeah.
Yep. What? Huh? Which is funny because if you go to the IMDb page for The Force Awakens, her character just says Leia.
Yeah. Doesn't necessarily say Leia Organa or anything like that.
Right.
Exactly. I think we pointed that out a long time ago, didn't we?
We did.
It's still news.
Yeah. But here's Carrie Fisher. I mean, is she letting the cat out of the bag? Or is she Carrie Fisher being Carrie Fisher?
Yeah, she could have started a line. That one. You know.
Whoa. Oh.
Just saying.
Of Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
That's the kind of Coke he's talking
about.
That'll
clear you out like a neti pot right there.
Ew.
What do you think?
I think that Carrie Fisher still likes to be a little nuts. She's very acerbic, sardonic, sarcastic, all those other words that have S.
That's a lot of big words.
Do you think she still has a crush on Harrison Ford?
Who doesn't?
I took college reading, yeah.
Who doesn't have a crush on Harrison Ford?
Me.
Isn't that...
What?
Well, that's because you're not in the podcast dudes.
Right now. You get out. I have a crush on 1983 Harrison.
Actually, I said you're not into dudes, but what on earth are you doing to my bar?
I know.
Over
I'm sitting there watching him. I'm like,
seriously. How about
you concentrate on the material?
Molest a 4x4 like that. Yeah. Oh, it finished.
It was gross. Wow, you missed it, Garrett.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
missing it.
Seriously though, there was something really drastic going on over there. But Carrie Fisher, however, I don't know. She could just be jerking around with people. She could also, you know, she could also just be, you know, kicking up some dirt, some misdirection that we've talked about that J.J. Abrams said about laying down misdirection.
She's always been a little less, I don't want to say careless, but sometimes...
Loose-lipped.
If you will. Disney kind of gets a little persnippety with her.
Yeah. Less loose-lipped or more loose-lipped?
More loose-lipped than perhaps Disney would prefer.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a...
I think she just doesn't... Yeah. She doesn't give... She doesn't care.
She doesn't.
Two craps.
And I think it's one of those things where she's like, eh, screw it.
Right. Right.
If I was going to guess.
I don't know. To me, it could be either or. It could just be her just messing with the fans or her messing with the Disney fuzz, if you
will. I think it's both.
Could be. Look at us.
Same time.
We're doing it. We're biting it. We're eating it. Eating it up with a spoon.
Delicious.
I don't think it's any more than, you know. It's another one of those things that you can't really latch on to, but you can think about what if.
I don't know. I kind of think she let the cat out of the bag.
We all take for granted that Leia and Han are married.
Exactly. I do. And maybe that's why I'm more prone to lean that way.
If it is a reveal of any kind, I don't think it's that big of a deal anyway.
Exactly. If it is a reveal, it's not a very good, not a big one. Three out of four of us are EU snobs, and the one who's not is still having read some EU stuff.
Yeah.
Or listened to. In this case.
Unless we have a wedding at the end of The Force Awakens a la Indiana Jones. in the Crystal Skull, Marion.
Oh, see, I blocked that out. by that point, man, in that movie, all I could think about was refrigerators and pissed off prairie dogs. So that was completely lost. So I honestly do not remember the end of that movie at all.
At some point, it was a wedding, man. Sorry.
I was just tired.
Sorry.
Was that when the sky was swirling and there were aliens? Was that the wedding? Because I don't remember. I really don't.
Is that where you tuned out?
Yeah, pretty
you
much.
Got that far?
I don't know. The fire ants and Shia LaBeouf swinging with a bunch of monkeys almost got me.
Did that really happen?
That was a thing.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Have you not seen the movie?
I have seen the movie.
I'm pretty sure I have. But just, I don't remember any of it.
You don't remember? Like,
you're jogging awful memories
like
for me.
Tons of CG fire ants.
I'll tell you what. I get the end of, what is that movie? National Treasure 2 and the end of, whatever that one, Crystal Skull. I get the end of those confused.
Really?
So I'm not even remembering.
Wishful thinking?
Sure. Only thing I remember about National Treasure 2 is a desk. That's it. Everything else is gone. There was a desk involved.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyhow, at least I think
so. How many of you guys read comic books? Any of you guys read comic books?
I've read a few.
I do. I read.
I listen to them.
You listen to the comic books.
God forbid we actually have a listener who only doesn't listen to the spoiler episodes. Yes, you read all the comics, and Garrick literally reads all the comics.
Yes,
Garrick
has read all of the comics,
not just Star Wars. All of the comics.
He's read all comics.
Yeah,
all comics.
So Marvel is kind of in the news this week, and
who?
Marvel Star Wars number six is kind of all the buzz and all the rage this week.
Everybody's tweaking on it.
They're tweaking. They tweaking their nips.
After I read it.
I almost did a little mini spit take there.
We will review said Star Wars number six in the next podcast, but basically what happened this week was there was a big reveal that kind of no one was expecting.
Mm-hmm. Last page of the comic.
No, it wasn't last page. It was a few pages in. Yeah, last page was another thing that happened.
Yes, another big thing.
Yes, there was a lot of big things actually in this episode. It was pretty damn good.
Yeah,
it was.
But I guess this begs the question. Again, it's a huge thing, and we're not going to reveal it here.
No, but real quick, before you get into your question, okay, just to lay the framework.
Yes.
Marvel Star Wars takes place between Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back.
Yes.
Between, so we are in an established and predominantly well understood timeline.
Sure.
Obviously there's gaps.
What is that? It's a 3 to 4 year period between the movies.
Right. Obviously there's a gap there. So a lot of things could have happened, but yet the level of fan familiarity there is very, very high. So here we have this big reveal that is something that fans...
It's a character point that...
Arguably.
Yeah.
Arguably.
Well, we'll see, and we'll discuss that in the next cast, but I mean...
What's the question?
The question would be, how do you guys feel about having such a huge reveal like we saw this week in the comic be revealed through that media?
Basically, like a big reveal that happens... Just in comic books, or the fact that it's happening in the, like...
That it's in a comic book as opposed to a novel or a movie that are generally...
Like Rebels or something?
Yeah, Rebels, something that has got a bigger audience.
I think the comics have a lot bigger audience than they used to. There's a lot of people reading that comic.
But is it bigger than the movies, or is it bigger than the Rebels?
Well, here's the thing. Let's go back to the last time a trilogy was released. Let's say we're waiting for episode one to come out. You couldn't do big drops like that on a comic because, even though the internet was a thing, people didn't spend the entire day connected to it. Whereas now, people don't even necessarily have to read the comics to get the story, to find out what happened the day that comic
came out. It was all over the place.
It was everywhere. It was out before the comic came out. Exactly. If you're into Star Wars news, it was unavoidable. And my impression is we're in a different playing field now. If they want to drop bombs, they can drop them virtually anywhere they want. They can say, hey, we can save ourselves time. If we want to reference a character later, let's drop a bomb in this other medium so that it's paved, it's continuous. When this character comes in later, some of the fans will already be able to connect, you know?
Right.
I don't think, you know, it used to be if it wasn't in a novel, it wasn't usually a big enough deal to really be concerned about, with a few very notable exceptions in the old
Chewy.
I'm just trying to think, okay, you know, prior to in the Dark Horse years or even the old Marvel years, I mean, there wasn't a reveal like what we saw this week in any of those. I mean, was
there? There was events that rippled through. Sure. I mean, like the whole Dark Force series.
Yeah, I was going to say Dark Empire.
Sorry. Yeah, Dark Which Empire. Was, yeah. Yeah. They mentioned that in every single novel that ever came out.
They do. Yeah, they wanted to pull that in. Right.
Hey, Luke, remember when you went dark?
Shut up, guys. Every time.
We're watching you.
I got my eyes on you, boy. Lumia was a character that was originally the Lady Vader.
Right. She goes back to the old Marvel.
I had that issue.
Did really?
I don't know if it's still somewhere in a box somewhere. It was in horrible condition, but if I could find it, that would go in a frame on my wall so fast.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there were big things that the authors enjoyed pouring into the canon or into the pseudo canon later on.
Right.
But right now, I mean, it's even better place to do it. You don't have to have access to the obscure books.
Yeah.
Because first off, none of the books coming out now are obscure.
Right.
They're all mainstream. Right. And secondly, they hit every other form of media the second they come out.
Right.
So everybody has access to it. So why not? If you want to drop some extra bombs that you don't think necessarily need to make it into a film, a show, or a book.
Right.
You know, and even then, I think arguably right now, the comic books might be a better media for that type of reveal than the novels, because the novels aren't going to get as much coverage on your blogs and stuff like that.
Sure.
They'll get some, but you have a whole novel to cover.
Right.
Whereas
it's going to take longer.
Yeah. Right. Every couple of weeks, an issue of a comic book comes out and boom, that's cover that, you know, handful of pages that month.
All of this now is canon. I mean, they've got their kind of unified universe now, and, it's not like it was before where everything had to be retconned and tied together. And
exactly.
Yeah.
So if you want to know more about what we're talking about, because we're teasing you like a bunch of filthy, filthy, dirty whores, tune in to the next episode where we will go into great detail.
Oh, yeah.
What else you got, Mike?
Well, boys, Gary Whitta in the news. Huh. And Gary Whitta, you will remember, is the writer for the Rogue One anthology film that will be coming out next year.
Oh. Yes.
And the reason he is in the news is not Rogue One related. He's actually been slated to write an episode of Star Wars Rebels.
Oh,
of all
really?
Things. Now, on the surface, nice. I was like, okay, he's a writer. You know, that makes sense, right?
Writers should write things.
Lucasfilm's employ, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, writers write things. But it has some people wondering, because Rogue One and Rebels are actually in the same time period, almost close.
Yeah.
So some people are theorizing that his involvement in Star Wars Rebels will tie directly to Rogue One.
You know why I think that theory holds water?
Dave Filoni?
No.
You didn't tell
me. Well, Dave Filoni, yeah. But no, I think that theory actually holds a little bit of water, because a good reason to bring in a writer onto another connected project is to write the characters they've created.
Yep.
If you've established a character's personality, you're the only person. It hasn't been performed yet. No one else has seen it yet.
Right.
You're the only one who understands the character.
Yep.
So to bring him in early on Rebels to establish maybe a couple of those characters makes a ton of sense.
They're going to cross over, and that'd be great, man. I think we've talked about that almost from day one.
Yeah.
It'd be neat to see some characters pulled out of Rebels and see him. I mean, heck, remember some of the rumors right away with Force Awakens? I wonder if we're going to see Kanan, you know, remember the old guy, you know, was going to be Kanan and things like
Max
that.
Von Sydow, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm still hoping in a horrible, horrible, destructive way. I think it would be hilarious if right after the opening text crawl, the first thing you see is a Star Destroyer just blow up the Ghost. I think that would be the funniest thing. Just be like, hey, you loved the characters. They're in the movie.
Well, hey, there you go.
Their space bits are. Their space jibs.
Wah, wah.
Oh, no.
I know. That's really horrible, but it keeps coming back to me. It's like, how much, like, if that happened right in the first 5 minutes, first 30 seconds of the movie, I would be laughing like Mike. Like full falsetto Hawkeye Pierce laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where I would be.
Yeah. That's nice.
So, we got anything else going on in news?
John Williams in the news this week.
The guy who wrote Star Wars music?
That
guy writes some good music.
Vanity Fair has interviewed him. I guess they found time between articles of Bruce, Caitlyn Jenner to fit some time for John Williams this week.
How unfortunate would have been if Bruce Jenner didn't change his name and just decided, I'm going to make Caitlyn my middle name.
Bruce Caitlyn Jenner.
Bruce Caitlyn Jenner.
I like it.
BCJ.
Oh.
I'm just saying.
Oh.
No, there's not a joke there, you fool. There's no joke.
You got to keep that C there to make it not a joke.
No joke. No joke.
No joke.
It is Caitlyn with the C.
It is Caitlyn with the C.
It is, which a lot of people pointed out is, is a funny jab, perhaps, at the family K.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
where everybody's name starts with a K.
That sounds like a store. Weird. The family K.
The family K. Oh, yeah. You haven't been there?
Circle K.
No, it's Family Dollar, Circle K, and K's merchandise all merged into Family K.
You lie.
No, it's true. You can go. You
no,
can
you believe
you. You can get a kitchen That's table wrong. Set for $11, but it'll only last a weekend.
Does it have Slurpee in it?
Yes,
it's actually made out of Slurpee.
Everything is made out of Slurpee in the whole store.
Yes,
it's really cold in there. And so you there's run
this.
To your car.
So there's this great interview in Vanity Fair with John Williams, and a couple things I pulled out of it that I. Made me think of Corey a little bit and some of the things that we've talked about.
We're not talking about Caitlyn Jenner at this point. Right?
We're not talking about Caitlyn Jenner. Okay, good. Right? Oh, we're past. We're good. We're done.
I don't want to be directly associated.
Okay. So a couple takeaways from the article. The first thing was I thought it was interesting that John Williams was asked, you know,
Hold on. I want to know if Garrick's done training the chimpanzees in the room with him.
What?
A lot of noise.
I'm practicing mocap for the next Planet of the Apes.
John Williams is asked if he is referring to past scores of the original and prequel trilogies for his work on Force Awakens.
Which I have previously begged for to no end.
Yes.
Because I did not like how the prequel trilogy... very little reference the original scores. We're all molesting the bar now because Mike started doing it again.
I know. Oh, exactly. These guys. Yeah. It's a great visual. Too bad you can't see it.
I'm glad they can't see it.
So, Corey has been very vocal about that in past casts about, you know, referring back to the prequel trilogy is not sounding enough like the original trilogy or not enough themes to carry over. So how does that make you feel, man, hearing that he's like, he doesn't refer to that back to that stuff at all?
Does
it concern you?
So far, this probably makes me more angry than anything I've heard.
Okay. Well, I'm going to add fuel to the fire.
Okay. Great.
He was also asked about his relationship with J.J. Abrams, and we had theorized a couple of casts ago that, at least I did, I was like, well, there's no way that J.J. Abrams, he's a control freak. I think he's all over John Williams, and he wants to get it just right like the original trilogy. And
We were theorizing.
Yeah, not the case.
No.
John Williams basically said that, yeah, he's come over a couple times and I played him some things on the piano and he basically said, just go do your thing.
Yeah. I asked him if he wanted to stick around for a latte and best 2 out of 3 of foosball, but he was like, no, I got crap to do.
He is John Williams.
He is.
This is
the same J.J. Abrams who was like nervous about asking Harrison Ford not to be so growly, you know, because it's Harrison Ford playing Han Solo. So, I mean, he is young and yeah, he's got a lot of successes under his belt, but he's still young and he's working with legends. But consarn it, some legends need to be reeled in a little. I want Star Wars music.
Well, you're going to get, he did mention that you're going to get some of the original, you're going to get the Luke theme and the Leia theme and stuff like that,
right?
You know, drawn into this because they're in the film. So, you know, we're going to hear some of those recognizable themes, but you know, they're not the main stars of the film, so you're going to be hearing a lot of new stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to say we're going to have some new themes to enjoy.
As long as it's reminiscent. I do want new music, but as long as it's reminiscent, like I've said, I've said this before, everybody went nuts for Duel of Fates.
I did.
And Duel of Fates was nothing like any of the music from the previous films.
True.
Because there was vocal stuff. The closest thing, and I said this before, the closest thing that came to it was a song that was actually written for Shadows of the Empire.
The Ewok song?
No.
It was
there's a really intense song with a choral background in Shadows of the Empire. If you've never listened to that soundtrack, I highly suggest it, which is not John Williams. But that song was great. But I felt like there was a lot of music in that. Some of the love themes were really uninspired. Of course, they were also played over in the background of really uninspiring love scenes.
Sure.
And I didn't like any of the Naboo themed music at all. The Gungan stuff was just a little too...
styled.
Gungan-y. Yeah, a little too. I was going to say like jungly, like, you know, kind of like that mountainous.
Yeah.
Or, you know, yeah. I don't know. But I worked for the Ewoks, but it was more playful. Mm-hmm. The music was more playful.
Sure.
And so I was trying to be more intense with the Gungan stuff, and I didn't think that worked because the Gungans were ridiculous. So whether you like them or not, you know, they act ridiculous as kind of their role. But
see, I didn't dislike the prequel music as much as I think you did.
The first is episode one is where it struck me the most because I just wasn't ready for it.
No,
two and three, I was kind of already into it.
Yeah, I completely agree with you that thematically, I mean, they really don't tie together very well.
No.
You know, just the main themes, which you would expect.
Well, and then when
I think it's great music, I own all those.
But when
CDs and
so do I. But when the songs that were from the original trilogy came in, it felt so ham-fisted and heavy-handed. Like, you know, when the Imperial March plays for the first time, you're like, "Yep, there it is."
Right,
and it wouldn't have been that way if that music had been more incorporated throughout.
Sure. Right.
And I don't think it's going to ruin a movie, but I think it is a stylistically poor decision. However, I also know that John Williams can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
He can do whatever movie he wants, right. You know, and as long as they can afford him.
I think
and
they feel lucky that just, he yeah, even signed on for this, to be honest with
it's
you.
It's just I'm one of those things where you have to kind of accept it. And I don't expect the guy who's what in his 80s to think about this the same way I do.
83,
so.
I think they said.
Yeah. So it's just kind of, you know, it's a thing. I'm really disappointed in it, and I don't think that I believe every bit of what he says. So we'll see. But I am looking forward to hearing the new.
I am holding out faith, and I feel like I have a strong position that it, you know, obviously there's going to be new music that it's going to be awesome.
Yeah,
I agree.
I do think there will be new music that is really good. I hope it's weaved together better. But again,
if it's editing too far,
issues, the prequels just there's a lot of stuff in the prequels that could easily distract you from otherwise quality parts of them. You know, like you had good actors in the prequels, but they came across terribly because of the way the scenes were put together.
Sure.
So same kind of thing. Maybe the music suffered a little more for me because of that. But again, it was mostly just episode one. You know, like the parade scene at the end of episode one?
Yeah.
That song's uninspired completely.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying it wasn't technically a well put together piece of music, but it was uninspired. That could be because everything mounting up to it was kind of like, huh.
Eh.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. So who knows?
I'm still kind of holding hope. I really am that. If it's too far of a departure, that JJ is going to try to reel that in, even despite what he said in the article.
I have no idea. I'll tell you, music. But. I didn't walk away from the new Star Trek movies going, "Yeah, the music was awesome," except for like opening sound and the closing credits.
I didn't pay much attention to it.
It was, and arguably, and maybe some film snobs now can sit forward and tuck their earbuds in a little tighter. Arguably, a really good soundtrack isn't something that should necessarily stand out. Like if it blends well and just enhances the scene without standing out specifically, that's probably more often than not the desired effect, even though every now and then it's great to have something just kind of hit real hard.
See, that's hard. It's hard for me to even think in that regard with Star Wars because I've heard these themes and this music for so long over and over and over. I mean, they're ingrained in my brain.
You know, what's going to be awesome.
It's hard for me I understand the argument that you're making there, but I can't even think of, I mean, the music is so, like I said, ingrained in me that I can't even disassociate it.
What's going to be awesome is we're going to have new themes to create new bumper music with for new segments. That's what's going to be awesome. Yes.
In my mind, it was new music to incorporate into a role-playing soundboard that when we actually start role-playing, I forget to use the whole time. That's actually classic. What I was thinking. Boy, it's been a long time since we've done that. Hey, do we have anything else going on in news?
No, that's all I had for news.
Whoa. Well,
then I have some news.
What?
Okay.
Unfortunately, we here at Fly Casual.
This is our last episode.
Whoa. I didn't get the memo.
Unfortunately, we here at Fly Casual have attracted some perhaps unwanted attention from
Garrick.
Not from Garrick necessarily, but actually Garrick, from the Star U.S. Wars. From the U.S. government, because, you know, our non-existent public funding that we receive, and the fact that sometimes we come across a little bit politically one-sided, and so our podcast has been assigned our own ombudsman.
Yeah.
So
I don't even know what that means.
I asked her to come on air. Of course, she wants nothing to do with that. That's not her role. I don't, it might be illegal for all I know, But I was told that we need to pause for station identification breaks, and then I had to remind her how the internet works. And then I was told we have to do like traffic and weather every hour, and I said again,
we should do that though.
It doesn't work.
I call
it
traffic.
Our traffic's going to be really old by the time people listen to it.
And check then local listings.
The fourth thing, and this was the only thing that I actually could concede on, was that we needed to provide more informational educational programming.
Oh,
so having said that, I've contacted one of our affiliates, and we are now going to be playing some educational programming for everybody. You guys ready?
This is our interlude. Let's do it.
Bring it on.
And welcome to Speeder Talk on Galactic Public Radio with us, Zip and Snap, the Zappet Brothers. And we're here to talk about speeders, ship repair, and of course, to take your questions. We're broadcasting this week from the Imperial Senate floor, a.k.a. a future Denny's parking lot.
A future abandoned Denny's parking lot. Well, is there any other kind?
There isn't these days, no, which is a shame.
Well, of course it is. Where's a girl going to get her? Moons over my hammy.
So tell me, why are we broadcasting from here?
Well, someone's got to. They can't just let it collect cobwebs.
Then they shouldn't have let us in here. We're full of them. Okay, well, despite that severe lapse in authoritarian judgment, we're actually going to take a call.
Oh, we are.
Well, yes, of course.
Is that something that we do?
Well, when we're not too busy dreaming about chicken strips and Western omelets.
I've always thought of myself as more of a Grand Slam kind of guy.
Grand Slam? You'd be lucky to get a walk-on single.
You'd be surprised how often I get beat.
Yeah, well, when my brother isn't too busy crowding the plate.
The breakfast plate?
Why discriminate now? Anywho, we like to take calls from you, the listener. The number is 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Speeder Talk.
Hello?
Hello, who's this?
My name is Han.
Where you calling from, Han?
Calling from Jakku.
Jakku? What in the world are you doing on a rock like Jakku?
Yeah, if there's a bright side of the galaxy, Jakku's got to be the second farthest planet from.
I've got a YT-1300 that...
Now see, that's a classic. I've had two of those before, and I finally bit the blaster bolt and upgraded to a 2000.
I've still got one at the shop.
That's right. You know, Hand, my brother here, picked up a 1300 on its last strut over 30 years ago, and he's still got that thing puttering about.
It'll live forever.
Well, yeah, because you could never throw anything away.
Well, it gets the job done. Even if solely contingent upon my current supply of duct tape.
Well, hopefully, Han's issue is as simple as a fistful of duct tape. What's wrong with your YT, Han from Jakku?
Well, it won't start. Checked all the usual issues and... coming up with nothing.
The usual issues.
Uh-oh, sounds like we've got a repeat offender. So, Han, is your YT making any noise, or is it dead in the water?
Well, it wouldn't be dead in the water on Jakku.
Yeah, that's a good point. It'd be more like dead in the sand, wouldn't it?
Makes a noise, but it doesn't start up.
And what kind of noise is it making exactly?
I guess as if it's trying to start up.
Yeah, but what exactly, what sound does it make?
I don't follow.
And my dear brother is attempting to trap you into somehow recreating this noise with your mouth like some kind of trained monkey lizard so that we might anecdotally increase the accuracy of our diagnosis.
Well, that's because it's true. We can increase the accuracy.
Well, yeah, we can when we can hear it over our own laughing.
Do I have to do
you
this?
You gotta do it, Han.
It's an essential part of the identification process.
All right.
Okay. One more time, just to be sure.
Okay. It sounds to me that this YT has been sitting on Jakku long enough to be possessed by the ghost of Sheriff Roscoe P. Coltrane.
That's the problem, is that you've been jumping too many creeks while running moonshine.
Thanks for playing along, Han. But in all honesty, it sounds like you've got a problem with your cooling blade airflow manifold.
Really?
Yeah, really? Well, yeah, really. It sounds to me like you're not getting enough airflow into your sublight engines, so the glow plugs are failing to ignite. And without your sublight engines firing, your negative power coupling doesn't have any juice to feed to your repulsors, life support, and so on. Now, see, I disagree. Well, now there's a surprise. I'll give you an E for effort. What's an E worth, anyway? They don't even use E. They go straight from D to F. Well, in that case, you get an F. Well, that's just great. And I'll tell you why. Please do enlighten us. I do agree with part of your diagnosis. Oh, and which part is that? The part where not enough airflow is getting to the sublight engines. That's not part of my diagnosis. That's all of my diagnosis. Yeah, but I don't think there's anything wrong with the airflow manifold. Oh, yeah? How so? Well, you see, you failed to account for additional information. Additional information, huh? Hand, tell me, do you travel with a companion of sorts? Whoa, careful. This is a family program.
It is?
Well, I wouldn't let my family listen. I thought not. But, Hand, tell us, please, do you have a travel buddy?
I do, yeah.
Uh-huh, I thought so. And would it be possible that this buddy is of a more hirsute persuasion?
Oh, I see where you're going.
See?
Yeah, I have a Wookiee co-pilot.
Exactly as I expected!
And how could you have possibly expected that?
Simple! I cheated!
You cheated? How?
I heard him growling in the background earlier!
Well, yeah, that's Chewy, so what?
Well, Han, what I think my brother is going to tell you is that the manifold itself is fine, but you've got a problem with the manifold filter.
Exactly!
The filter, of course, is intended to keep particulate matter from finding its way into the sensitive inner workings of your sublight drives.
That's right, and under normal circumstances, anything that gets caught in the filter is burned off with the excess heat generated by the drives in flight. But if yours has been sitting for a while...
And someone's been using it as a tiki bar.
Exactly. If it's been pulling double duty as a Mai Tai dispenser, then in theory, that filter could become clogged with things like Wookiee hair.
In hand, it doesn't have to be Wookiee hair, though that obviously would appear to be a potential leading candidate. But any excess of dirt or sand could have the same effect, whereupon you'll want to access it below the deck plating in your engineering bay, just in front of the auxiliary cooling unit to the left of your aft deflector shield generator.
Once you remove it, it's as easy as dusting it off or blasting it with an air compressor hose.
Just don't give it an oil bath.
Oh no! That'd make it worse!
Much worse! You'd have 4 or 5 Wookiee toupees in no time!
We'll give it a shot. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, Han, and thanks for being such a good sport. Once again, the number is 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Speeder Talk.
Hi, this is Luke calling from Dagobah.
You again!
It's me.
Tell us you didn't put down in the middle of a swamp again, Luke, on Dagobah.
Sounds like a yes!
Well, good luck, Luke, on Dagobah. Hey, before we take a break, I want to remind listeners of last week's puzzler.
I remember this time.
You always say that.
But this time it's true. I did my homework, and this time I actually remember.
Okay, fine. What was it?
It was, something about womp rats?
Everything's about womp rats with you. No, last week's puzzler was about how a single tribe of Ewoks could potentially overthrow an entire Imperial garrison.
Ridiculous!
It's not ridiculous, and we'll have the solution coming up after the break. In the meantime, this is Speeder Talk.
And even though Irishard heavily considers applying for Hapen citizenship every time he hears us say it, you're listening to GPR, Galactic Public Radio.
Yes.
Wow. Well,
we did our duty, awesome. Right?
Yeah. We played the absolute minimum we're required to play.
Well, as long as we're in compliance, that's all I care.
I'm all about the absolute minimum.
And now I know where to find the manifold filter on a YT-1300.
You do. That's right.
Good to know.
I would have never looked under the deck plating. Never would have checked there. That's the kind of stuff you don't find on YouTube, guys.
True.
Nope.
So you can take that straight to the bank. But in the meantime, while you're there, why don't you withdraw some money, because it's time for the Toy Report.
Oh, yeah. Hey, guys. Wait, hey, for Garrett. The music to stop.
You came in too soon, man.
I know. My bad. Speaking of money, someone just spent a lot of money on a certain figure.
Oh.
Now, someone has, I guess this is maybe in the record books or not, but someone has purchased the first The Force Awakens action figure on eBay.
That's
yes.
Flow Walk Jason.
I heard about this. Flow Walk Jason. Yeah.
Flow Walk Jason. No. You know, it's just your run-of-the-mill Force Awakens futuristic-looking stormtrooper guy without any accessories or anything, just the figure on eBay. Now, this person, whoever bought this, paid $1,050 for the 6-inch Black Series Force Awakens Stormtrooper.
It's a 6-inch.
6-inch. Nothing special about it. In a few months, they're going to release on the market probably for about half that much, at least, I think. Maybe like, knowing Hasbro, probably.
Yeah, most likely.
But yeah, someone had put this up on eBay. I think it would start around $40, and it went up to $1,050, where someone finally won it for that price.
What did you say what the figure was?
Yeah, you said it was the standard new Stormtrooper. Yeah,
okay, right, it's the, right, right. I've seen these pictures, the, right.
Yeah, the
Stormtrooper. Sorry, I was looking for it.
So I thought that was pretty odd. I guess they're banking on the fact that maybe it's a prototype or something. I don't know, but I wouldn't.
But it could. It might just be something that fell out of the machine that was
absolutely.
Stamping them.
It could. Yeah, absolutely. Or someone just got an early release package, took it out, and sold it on eBay. And what I thought was,
how much did it sell for? Did you say?
I got an early release 6-inch black figure. I'm not for Force Awakens. I'm going to rip it right out of the package and play with it.
And knowing, and knowing that, you know, the most common ones out there. So if you wait a few months, it's only $20.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, here's hoping that person's actually getting something for their money other than bragging
rights. That's a cool looking toy. I mean, I've seen this. The picture's been routed around the web a little bit. So
yeah. And what I thought, what else I thought was pretty funny is there's a lot of other people that kind of jumped on the bandwagon. I saw a Finn action figure out there.
Yeah, I saw a picture of that a second ago.
Okay, look a little bit closer to this action figure. It shows it's in the package. It says Finn Calrissian on the front.
Really?
On the back, it has the Force Awakens kind of font and kind of maybe describes. But if you look close enough, all these things are taped onto the box. And if you look even closer to the figure, it looks like someone took the Han and Stormtrooper armor and just painted the face black.
Oh, jeez. I see it now. Yeah.
So it's... I was like, wow.
Kind of racist, the medallion, okay. The medallion picture on the package is pricelessly garbage.
Yeah, it's so bad. They printed it out in black and white and just pasted it on there.
Yep. Look, it's silver. It's silvery colored now.
Seriously. Buy it. It's for real.
Silver's monochromatic and things.
Yeah, but wow. that was pretty fun. I thought that was a pretty interesting proposition.
There's one of it out of the box with a lightsaber.
I didn't see that one.
That's a really, really disturbing paint job on what was originally styled probably to be a white dude's face. Like I'm feeling a little awkward even looking at this picture.
Exactly. Yeah. Because they didn't paint all the way around the eyes, so there's still a little bit of So it looks like
it's the Al Jolson stormtrooper.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my. Wow.
I don't know how much that goes for on eBay.
I don't know. He was selling for $35, and I hope nobody bids on it because that's just awful.
Word. It would almost be funny to have on your shelf just a cuz, though. Like, look at this awful, awful attempt.
Yeah, $35. Well,
I shouldn't say
awful.
It's way better than I could do. That's for certain.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was kind of cool. Now, you guys like video games, right?
I've been known to dabble in the video game.
I know Howie and Corey like video games.
How would you know that? I hate video games.
How would you know that, Garrett?
Well, I don't know. Just lucky guess.
Listening to Sister Podcast, press play to save.
Oh, geez. You stuck it in there.
Plugged it.
Okay. Anyway, new Star Wars video game coming out. It's going to be a canon video game.
What?
Which means it's
what, like a tank simulator?
You get to shoot cannons.
You shoot cannons.
Like battling on Jakku?
Yes. No.
No.
It's called Star Wars Uprising. It's a iOS and Android system game.
What? So you can play it on your iPad.
You can play it on your iPad, your iPhone, your whatever Android makes.
You can play it on my iWatch.
You can play it on your iWatch. I don't know.
Is it even called an iWatch?
I don't know what it's called.
Apple Watch. It's called Apple Watch, and no, you cannot play it on that.
Apple iWatch.
No, you would not want
to. It's called Star Wars Uprising, created by Kabam, which I don't know if... what they make.
It's a subsidiary of Kapow.
Kapow! But Star Wars, according to the Star Wars website, thestarwars.com, this is the uprising will feature key events set in the Anoa'it sector, inclusive of Hoth and Cloud City.
Yeah,
so, really.
Yeah, and play and will Lando allow players system. To create characters, go on missions, build their gear and skills, and organize crews and factions to participate in wide-ranging battles.
Wow!
Keeping up with the traditions of Star Wars role-playing games, players will learn hundreds of new abilities and collect classic gear and equipment. Conductive to creating their own takes on iconic roles. And those roles are smuggler, bounty hunter, rebel guerrilla, diplomat, gambler, or something entirely new. So there's that.
There's that. The way, guy, what piece of garbage?
Just to kind of condense it down, the game is kind of described as a dungeon crawler RPG. So I'm guessing something more along the lines of maybe Diablo or something like that.
I'm waiting for that hot, sweet civil litigator DLC. Open yes. up some new classes.
Ooh, sweet.
I know it, right?
Accountant, here I come.
Yeah, I know. Woohoo! Team Systems Synergy Analyst. That's me.
They have a promotional video on their website, StarWarsUprising.com, which actually is kind of cool if you want to go out and watch it.
Yeah, things that I've read have actually been referring to it as like a console-sized RPG.
Exactly. Like the graphics are supposed to be amazing. Now, this video does take place right after Return of the Jedi, which I don't know if I mentioned, but this is canon, the first canon type thing we may see
before The Force Awakens. Jedi.
Right.
Interesting.
Yes, but the whole promotional video is basically a guy going around showing all these different factions, the second Death Star exploding. And I guess I don't know what the name of the character is, but there's a certain Moff or general that says, no, this is all a lie. And I guess he's kind of usurping the Emperor's power from what I could understand from the video. So it's kind of going out there, kind of laying some ground for the movies.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Like he's going around and spreading the word that the Emperor's not dead and that everybody should keep, you know, Imperial and up.
Right. And I guess the point of the game is uprising is, you know, obviously is to, I guess, uprise against this person and maybe, I don't know, prove that he's wrong or something.
Which, but I would say the interesting part is that it implies that although we don't know for sure that there is some type of power vacuum going on immediately after Jedi, which we assume from the old canon, which is now Legends and stuff like that. But this seems to kind of confirm that a little bit.
Right. Correct. Yeah. So there's definitely interesting things that could happen in this game. And it's set to release sometime this year. They don't have a specific date I haven't seen a price or if it's going to be free with ads or whatever. But I think it's definitely worth a pickup. It looked kind of cool.
Awesome.
It did.
Here's my thing is I'm going to you said you don't know, but to me, it really matters whether or not it's free to play. Or if it just is a flat price, because for this type of game, I find I'm way better off playing a flat price so that I can enjoy the whole thing. If it's free to play and it's just constantly like, hey, if you want to go on another mission, pay 99 cents for all these credits so that you can go on another mission faster or wait 2 hours. I'm going to get real skeeved by that.
Yeah,
will not be tweaking on that.
So hopefully it will come out with a flat price and hopefully that won't be too exorbitant.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Or maybe someone will sell it on eBay early and you can pick it up.
I could spend $1,000.
Sweet.
And then they shut it down remotely.
What if I just take another game and paint it up?
Sold. Make it pretty.
Where can I pay you?
Take my money.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Hey guys. You guys like Frozen, right? The movie.
Do I?
Keeping things frozen, like in a refrigerator, perhaps?
Tasty freezer? Popsicles and push-ups.
Why, I'm drinking a refrigerated drink right now.
Wow. Well, I got good news for you, Corey. If you would like to keep that drink refrigerated,
ThinkGeek.com,
the website, what was purchased by GameStop, I guess.
Guess it was going to be Hot Topic. And then at the last minute, they took a hard left into a hard right into GameStop.
Yeah. GameStop, which say what you will, that might be worse. But anyway, ThinkGeek.com has come out with a new refrigerator The Han Solo
no.
in carbonite refrigerator.
Oh, yes. Oh, no. You know, that's awesome.
Now, it's a mini fridge.
Of course
Let me sweeten the pot a little bit for you.
Okay.
So this refrigerator isn't just a refrigerator. It's also a warmer to keep your food warm if you need it. This refrigerator holds up to 18 cans of soda. It measures 19 inches tall, 10.75 wide, 10.75 the other way, whatever that is. The front of it has red LED lights that you can flip on and off.
So that he actually glows?
Yeah.
Like he's melting?
Cool. It looks more like he's displayed at Jabba's palace or right when he comes out of the carbonite.
Oh, okay.
He's kind of.
No, yes, that's out. Exactly it what is. It is. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. My gosh.
So he looks like he's bathed in an orangish red light.
Oh, my gosh. I have to have this thing.
Yes. And the cooling capacity, it runs from 32 to 44 degrees. And the heating capacity actually gets kind of hot. It goes up to 131 to 149 degrees.
What would you
American Fahrenheit?
I guess maybe if you took it tailgating or something.
Put your chicken wings in there, man.
Exactly.
I'll put my chicken wings in my belly. In my belly.
That's a good point. But it's not really that expensive. It's only $149.99.
So really? $150 would usually net you a larger mini fridge than that. But I mean,
with LED lights.
It's not just a fridge.
That can hold a 12-pack and a few candy bars right there. And
that is
awesome, awesome, awesome.
And if you want to trade it back in, they give you like $5 for it.
I swear to God.
It's GameStop.
I swear to God, if someone doesn't get me this for my birthday, I'm murdering everyone.
Kathy.
That's it.
Kathy, when
Father's
Day
is coming up,
she's already got my Father's Day gift.
That doesn't mean she can't.
She
take
buys
it back.
Them like 9 months in advance and then goes, I've already got your Father's Day gift. I don't want anything for Mother's Day. And then I'm like, great. Now I have to go out and get something, you know, last minute. No, this is what I want, dear.
This is pretty cool. And if you want to just go out to, like I said, thinkgeek.com, search Han Solo carbonite.
We'll have them in
fridge.
The show notes, won't we? We'll have a link to
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And sure. Kathy, I will sell our current mini fridge, which we paid more for than this would be, to have this here in the basement.
So if they're bought by GameStop, will they buy your old fridge? Or you can trade it in for more credit.
Yeah, no, I'm sure
to get another fridge.
I'm sure they'll give me at least 2 cents on the dollar, and they'll double it to $0.04 if I pay $15 for an annual subscription to their whatever extreme card.
That's right. That's how it works. So yeah, definitely. That's pretty cool.
And
that's
Garrick, why did you show this to me? Oh,
yeah, you're welcome.
Oh,
you're welcome, buddy.
I have to have it.
Yes, that's all I got for right now. With the toys and other things.
That is wicked smooth. You've definitely made an impression, and hopefully we've made an impression on the listeners. Hey, please, once again, let me remind you to follow us on Twitter at FlyCasual1138 and also like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/FlyCasualPodcast. And of course, won't you follow us on the YouTubes and the Instagrams and all those lovely places? Google it, you'll find it. I don't care. But I care that you show up there, but really it's your path. It's your route to find. We're just the golden nougaty goodness at the other end. So blaze that trail and like us, follow us, share us, and do us a favor. Jump on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast or wherever you don't, and give us a positive review. Let other listeners know that you've got a lovely little nugget here that's worth listening to, just to brighten your day, because that's what we're here to do. Am I right, folks?
That is right.
Yippee-yo.
Yeah. They were there. They were ready to go that time. I love it. I love it. See, that's for you guys. Yeah. Anyhow. Anyhow, let's tie this one off while we're on top. I've got to go get that fridge happening. That's right. I've been Corey, really, for 35 years or so and change. Over there's Mike.
How long have you been Mike?
41.
Ooh,
I've been Mike for 41 years.
I know.
Nice.
I just felt, I just got arthritis from him saying that.
Nice.
Way to go, Allie.
Over there. Well, you went to me.
Throwing out the fist bump to grab a mic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how old I am.
No, I lose track of my own all the time. I have to look at my license half the time. And then I can't read. I need bifocals.
There's a 7 at the end of it or something.
Probably. No. And of course,
47?
Garrick.
Jeez.
I've been Garrick for 10 years.
57. At least. I feel like 57.
Prior to that, you were something else entirely.
Yeah, I can't go into that, though.
No, no. It's federally protected. And you know what else is federally protected?
Your mom. Let's just say I was on the front of Variety.
Yep.
Jelly.
Variety.
Jelly's Vanity federally Fair. Protected.
Yeah, jelly quarterly. Jelly. Well, yeah, well, actually, jellies. Federally jellies protected. If you were to get a salmonella outbreak.
Mm. Yeah.
Or if you were to have some, you know, some type of really horrible disease that was found.
Did I tell you about the spider that I found in a can of jelly? Or not a can of jelly.
Oh my gosh, cans of jelly? They sell cans of jelly.
No, it was a jar of jelly. I said,
that's a jar full of nope is what that is.
I was probably, what, six? Grabbed it out of the fridge. It was brand new. Popped it open. Spider jumped out.
Whoa, it was alive?
Yeah.
Did thousands of babies like go crawling over your arms like the zombies in World War Z?
No, it was just the one spider.
Gross.
No.
Ooh, wow.
This is brand new.
Sealed. Just frightening.
Looks like I'm a peanut butter and honey fan now, but anyway.
So check your jelly.
Yeah, make sure you check your jelly. Night, everybody.
Night, night.
Bye-bye. Night.
But what if it's daytime?